Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Well, there's no load shedding planned for this week, which just so happens to coincide with Moody's visit. But if anything, last week's load shedding, the first time that we've seen load shedding throughout the evening, must be the final straw for many. Eskom is in what we've been speaking about on this program, certainly for years, utility death spiral. The situation looks unsalvageable from an economic perspective. And it's pretty much the conclusion that Western Cape Premier Helen Ziller arrived at in her column today. But more importantly, Madam Premier, and welcome to the show, is what the Western Cape province is doing about this inescapable truth. Good evening.
Good evening, Michael. Nice to be with you.
Now, just give us some context here about the various spheres of authority. For the record, what does the constitutional division of government responsibilities in relation to electricity delegate to you as a provincial authority?
Well, interestingly enough, almost nothing. At national level, there is a responsibility for generating and transmitting electricity. At local government level, it is for distributing or reticulating electricity. Provinces are very specifically excluded from the delivery pipeline in electricity, but we have responsibility for disaster management, and we have responsibility for overseeing local authority. And for institutions such as hospitals and schools and libraries and roads. So we can't just sit back and watch the electricity generation and distribution system collapse. We have to take preemptive action. And that is why we have been running an electricity game changer for the past 4.5 years in order to prepare for what we thought would be an inevitable moment.
What does that electricity game changer entail?
Sorry, did you say what is that inevitable moment?
Well, the inevitable moment, I think we understand, is the fact that Eskom is in a utility death spiral.
Correct.
What does the electricity game changer entail? That's what I'm really interested to find out.
Okay, the electricity game changer entails people moving to green sources of energy with liquefied natural gas as base load without going off the grid. That is the energy game changer in a nutshell.
But what needs to happen in order for that to become a reality? Because I understand that government is trying everything that it can to ensure that Eskom doesn't hit the wall. And therefore, if you introduce too much competition, too many independent power producers, then you just hasten its demise.
Well, the government has to realize that Eskom cannot meet demand. Much of its plant is over 30 years old, and quite a lot over 50 years old. That plant has to be mothballed. The new build, Kusile and Medupi, have failed. They are in a worse state than people imagine, and the boiler tube leaks and other things have been very critical. The supply cannot meet the demand, and the national government and Eskom are desperate to prevent too many alternative suppliers pumping energy into the grid. That doesn't mean to say that people will stay on the grid. More and more people who can afford to generate their own electricity through sun energy in particular are moving off the grid, which means that Eskom's revenue stream is falling all the time, which is part of the reason that it cannot recover. And the result is that the poor, who cannot afford the infrastructure for green energies, such as photovoltaic panels, get left footing the increasingly expensive bill for Eskom's electricity. That is a utility death spiral, and it is terrible for the poor. That is why we're saying we have to ring-fence Eskom debt. We have to have many more providers pumping into the national grid, including private homeowners and businesses who are generating their own electricity in order to feed the grid from multiple sources, bringing down the cost of energy. We've done that to such an extent in the Western Cape that if we were to island the Western Cape and separate it from the rest of the grid, we could be energy self-sufficient. We don't want to be selfish and do that, but we believe the model is absolutely right for South Africa, and we want to extend it and we want to include all the suppliers into the grid. And we need ESCOM to enable that. We need the National Department of Energy to enable that. And we critically need them to allow us to do small-scale embedded generation up to 10 megawatts. If we could do that, we would literally transform energy supply overnight.
And that is the nub of this, because currently it's capped at around 1 megawatt. And as you just described, we are entering a situation where we will have a form of energy inequality, where those who can afford to get off the grid will do so anyway, whether or not they can feed or wheel that energy back onto any local grid and back into the national supply. People are going to put solar on their rooftops and they're going to get on with things. Why not tap into that to ensure that we have this distributed generation capacity that can feed the system? The foundation is there. What do you need to see in terms of go-ahead from national government? Because we're still waiting for the integrated resource plan of 2018 that still hasn't been released.
Well, that's the problem, Michael. That's the big problem. The integrated resource plan has to be released. What it has to do is enable small-scale embedded generation to go up to 10 megawatts. Almost every local authority in the Western Cape has got the legal framework to make that happen. We've got a wheeling framework, which is a framework to enable people to circulate electricity on the grid between each other. We're developing a new financial model for local government. All it needs is the integrated resource plan and the go-ahead from national government. We need government to identify Saldanha Bay as a landing port for liquefied natural gas, and we will have the base load sorted out. So we are ready to roll. We just need a nod from national government.
And Madam Premier, and that's what really struck me about your column in the Daily Maverick today, because infuriatingly, the former Energy Minister, Tina Joemat-Pettersson, excluded the Western Cape from the first round of licence allocations to import LNG, which went exclusively to Kucha in the Eastern Cape and Richards Bay in KZN, which really seems quite bizarre.
That was bizarre. It was totally infuriating. We were entirely ready for it. We're more ready than any other place in the rest of the country. It makes complete logical sense to license Saldanha Bay. We have an entire special economic zone built around that premise. And I can only conclude that there was some ulterior motive in excluding us from that allocation.
Well, it's pretty difficult not to connect those dots. Just lastly, Madam Premier, before I let you go, there are other dots that people are clearly connecting following that exclusive interview conducted by Karen Maughan with the former president, extolling the virtues of Russian-made nuclear power plants at a time when we see Eskom's fleet hobbled. Now, we know the source of the crisis is obviously the tragedy over in Mozambique and Cahora Bassa line going down, the terrible boiler work that's been done and the tube leaks and the issue around a tender not being awarded to manage that whole process. But it does appear to be very suspicious that we've lost so much of our generating capacity at such a crucial time when there is talk of a pushback by the state capturers, as the Minister of Public Enterprises, Pravin Gordhan, has said. Are you connecting those particular dots right now?
Yes, I am. I mean, there's no question that the failure to reinstate the early detection capacity on the boiler tube leaks was connected to corruption and possibly state capture, and the information on that was deliberately obscured. And that is catastrophic. It meant that when the Cahora Bassa lines went down, seven other generation plants were offline because of the boiler tube leaks. Now, that creates a completely unsustainable situation. The energy generation capacity dropped from 48,000 megawatts to 28,000 megawatts. And as a result, we got stage four load shedding. Now, that is completely untenable. And if Eskom had been operating properly without state capture, without corruption, with proper management in place, without CADA deployment, that would never have happened. And so that there is still that level of corruption just 18 months ago that is trying to divert these critical contracts to certain sources is an extremely worrying sign, and that ESCOM has failed to pick up on that lapse till now shows you just how much the state captures have still got their tentacles into that utility and many other state-owned enterprises.
Well, cash cow might stop delivering soon if we are to continue along this path of continued load shedding and blackouts. There's not going to be much milk left in that one. Western Cape Premier Helen Ziller with a solution to the country's power crisis if we don't let politics trump common sense.